to Just One More with Joanna and Daphne, a fitness and nutrition podcast for normal people who want to be more awesome. If you have trouble deciding between Just One More Cupcake and Just One More Kettlebell Swing, this is the podcast for you. I'm Joanna Shaw Flam. I'm an actor, a comedian, and a normal person.
And I'm Daphne Yang. I'm a certified personal trainer, nutrition counselor, and the creator of HIIT It, New York's ultimate high-intensity interval training workout.
Before we get started, remember to talk to your doctor before beginning any workout or nutrition plan. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is sleep.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet sleep. I love it so much. And if you want to see us posting more about sleep during the week or just want to follow what we're doing in between episodes in general, you should follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle on both things is at Just One More Pod. So that's Just One More Pod. We want your opinions. We want to see what you're up to. If you're working out, we want to give you a high five over the internet. And it's also a good way for you to get like quick tips of stuff we cover on the show throughout your week in the places that you're looking anyway. So give us a follow. We'll maybe we'll follow you back, unless that's weird, and then we won't do it. But we'd love to see you on the internet.
Unless your settings are private, then we'll request to follow
right.
you.
I sort of feel like from my... from the podcast handle, like if someone's stuff is private, I don't request to follow them.
I know,
because I'm like, this probably specifically means that they don't want like random media outlets following them on the internet. So that's why I'm not following you, requesting to follow you if you have private settings.
If you want us to, though, send us a direct message.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, so today we're talking about sleep. So it's hard to get people to care as much about sleep as they do about exercise and nutrition, because food and exercise feel like proactive things where sleep feels like you're doing nothing. And it's also not that sexy to write like a magazine article about like 10 ways to get sexier sleep. But sleep is super important, which I know because you've mentioned it on a lot of episodes.
Oh yeah. And if we want to make it sexy, well, so I know you think this is going in one direction, but it's actually going in the direction of, well, sleep actually does help your skin, your weight, your appearance. You know, no one wants bags
all
under
that
their
surface
eyes.
Stuff.
So all that sexy stuff. So it actually does affect appearance. And I know that's why things like nutrition and working out, that's so fun to hear about, because we think that that'll directly
so
affect something so
it's
exterior.
So fun, Daphne. Everyone thinks it's so fun.
So fun.
do you have any sleep stories? Are you a good sleeper, a bad sleeper?
I love sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm a good sleeper. I sleep deeply. Mm. Deeply, deeply, deeply.
Like don't hear the fire alarm deeply?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been times as a kid where there would be like an earthquake and I would sleep through it. Hashtag California problems. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I am also a very deep sleeper, and I can sleep for a long time. I particularly notice that like I do not operate well on not enough sleep. Like that's one of my main weaknesses, is if I'm not sleeping a good amount per night, like I am not fully functional.
Same here. Yeah.
And
I'll cry if I don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
I tired cry. Yeah. It's pretty pathetic, but it's,
whatever.
It's why we need sleep.
Yeah. Any sleepwalking or sleep talking in your experience?
I do not sleepwalk. I sleep talk, according to Stuart, but I also sleep snore, which is just snoring.
Yeah, so, if you were awake snoring, it might be worse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So sometimes I will wake myself up because I will be dozing off and I'll hear myself snoring. But and we'll talk about sleep apnea and snoring and all that jazz in a little bit. But I do not sleepwalk or sleep talk. What about you?
I don't sleepwalk now. There was at least one instance in my childhood where my parents said that I sleepwalked downstairs and kept saying, I want my toothbrush, but like was not awake. And they walked me back up to bed, and I have no memory of this. Matt sleep talks in a hilarious fashion.
No, does he?
Yes. So one time he was asleep and I was either awake or was woken up by him talking in his sleep. And he like said something that I didn't hear. And I said, like, what? And he was like, meh, 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 meh. And I said, are you talking in your sleep? And he goes, yes. It's like, okay, I guess I won't try to have a conversation with you then. But I thought that was very funny.
One time I was on a family vacation when I was younger. I think I may have been about 14. Mm-hmm. So all the Yangs were in one big hotel room. Mm-hmm. My mom, dad, me, and my two sisters. And I was sharing a bed with Debbie, my big sister. And in my dream, I was playing piano. And in my dream, I was playing this whole concerto. And I could see the notes. And I could feel the piano. Mm. And my sister woke me up because I was playing piano on her.
Oh my gosh.
So she was rolled over onto her side facing away from me. And I think I was facing her. And I was just like playing the piano all over like her arm and her side. And she woke me up in a panic.
She
and
was
like,
so freaked out.
What is wrong? And I was like, oh, I was just playing piano. And I actually did play piano for a long time. So maybe that's why I was having massive anxiety probably about pleasing my very scary Russian piano teacher. That's probably what it was about.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I once did, in my adult life, my one, like, this wasn't quite sleep talking, but it was pretty much. So the day that my brother-in-law got married, it was like a super long day because it was like a morning ceremony and then like sort of a like afternoon luncheon thing. And it was here in New York. So we were sort of also in like a hosting type position. No one was staying with us, but we were like helping people figure stuff out. And my parents had just been visiting because it had just been my college graduation. So I was like exhausted. So we walked back and it was like probably like 6 o'clock. And we were both just like, we have to go to sleep right now. Like we're so tired. So we went to sleep. And then I woke up at some point to go get, like, to go to the bathroom or something. And I ran into my roommate at the time, Randy. And in my mind, I was totally awake. And we were having a normal conversation about him being the babysitter. Now that I'm saying this, it doesn't make any sense. But what I said was, help yourself to the popcorn. And then I left. And he was very confused because not only did that make no sense in context, but also he had never been a babysitter. So he didn't have the reference of like when the parents are getting ready to go, like they've told you all the stuff about the kid and then they basically like tell you what food you can eat. So he didn't even have that reference.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
That's so funny.
Sleep is a weird place.
You're so polite, even in your sleep talking and sleepwalking.
I do my best.
You were still offering a snack.
Mm-hmm.
You were still offering popcorn.
Yeah. If anyone wants any popcorn, help yourselves. All of this is to say that sleep is weird and mysterious. So what is it? Like, why do we sleep?
It's critical. And that sleep deprivation is a form of torture. So that's, like, it's actually a legitimate form of torture in some places.
Not that any form of torture is legitimate, but it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is actually a way that torture is performed.
Yeah. I mean, sleep is really critical. And
we're not going to get letters like or like posts on Breitbart.
We're going to get like political.
Just one more letter. Says that torture is legitimate.
Which I am not condoning in any way, shape, or form.
That's right. We're pro-sleep.
We are pro-sleep. We are definitely pro-sleep. And I think that, well, first of all, I am not a sleep specialist, but I do know a lot about sleep being in the health and wellness field.
Plus she spent like a third of her life practicing.
I have. Yeah. And I love it. I love it. And I really know lots of ways to get the best quality of sleep. But first and foremost, I just have to really stress the importance of sleep and that so many issues that Americans have today are because of lack of sleep. And one of my stories, which I've said before in a previous episode, but during my heaviest time, it was actually at the start of my personal training career, and it was when I was just not sleeping because I was training late, but I was also training early at 5:45 a.m. and was sleeping here and there and here and there. And I mean, my hair was falling out at this point in time at age 23 was when I started.
And you're like, just one more push up.
Yeah. And you know, and then you still have to function in day-to-day life. But adequate sleep is really important. It's important for restoring and repairing your muscles, your internal organs, and your brain. So I found a lot of times, kind of like with stress and being busy, it's almost become this epidemic where people brag about how little sleep they've gotten.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, like where people brag about how little sleep they've gotten and they use it as a benchmarker to their success, or they use it as a benchmarker, you know, the fewer hours of sleep they get, the harder working they are.
Right.
Which is just...
And more important they are.
Yeah, yeah. And we here at Just One More Podcast are trying to steer people away from that. So at Just One More Podcast, you know, stress and being busy and not sleeping are...
So last year.
Probably, yeah, so last year. There are things that we don't necessarily want people to feel proud of, and things that we... And I feel like we're just trying to move all of society, mm-hmm. all of it, in a different direction where we place value on stress reduction, and we place value on getting adequate sleep, and we place value on having balance and not being too busy.
That's right. As Just One More, as the Just One More community, we are proud of getting enough sleep, we are proud of not being stressed, and we're proud of the fact that we eat food at regular intervals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all good things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sleep is really important. We need it to stay alive. The human body needs it to rejuvenate and restore, to grow muscles, repair tissues, to synthesize hormones, and our brains just really, really need it. This whole feeling of being foggy when we haven't gotten enough sleep, and people kind of describe lack of sleep to, or that feeling of grogginess, almost being, you know, drunk.
Except without the fun part.
Except for without the fun part.
Yeah.
It's just all the terrible parts of, you know, losing complete control of your brain. So yeah, it's really important, and we need it to function. And if we have better quality of sleep, we are putting way less stress on our body. And if we get adequate amounts of sleep, the body also doesn't cling on to excess body fat. So
yeah, so let's talk about when we don't get enough sleep, what are the negative consequences for our bodies and minds?
Lots of them.
Everything.
Everything. Well, how do you feel when you feel
when
super
I don't get
tired?
Enough sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, the worst. I mean, first of all, there's like a specific feeling of having to get up early to travel, mm-hmm. because like I never sleep well if I have to get up early to travel, because I'm like thinking about having to get up early so that I don't sleep very soundly, and then I'm getting up early so I'm getting fewer hours than I usually would. And there's like a particular kind of nausea from getting up early to travel, I think.
Totally.
So there's that. I'm more irritable if I haven't slept, so like stuff annoys me faster. I'm not as like sharp and with it and present, obviously. Like I have that grogginess for sure. I get sick if I don't sleep enough, which then makes the problem worse. I think I tend to feel like more inflamed if I don't sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, those are some of my like symptoms that I can notice from the outside.
Yeah. So when I don't get enough sleep, I feel like I want to cry all day.
Super emotional. I always describe emotional. That as like when you feel like you have no skin. So yeah, like anything that touches you like really, really hurts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You're just super emotional because you're just so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I always get sick if I don't sleep enough. Like if I have too many crazy things in a row happening that are forcing me to wake up super early, I always get sick, and I get cravings when I don't sleep enough. Because, and we've talked about this before, the brain runs on glucose. So if the brain is sensing it's not getting enough energy because you didn't sleep enough, naturally the first thing your brain is going to tell you is, you need carbs. You need carbs, 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 carbs. So it's so easy to just grab a sugary coffee drink and a donut or a bagel. That's what you like crave.
Mm-hmm.
So I have cravings, and I actually have to tell myself, this is not you who wants this. You don't need this right now. You don't need the glucose in the morning.
Right. What you need is a nap.
What you need is a nap. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always feel like I'm going to cry because I just get so exhausted and everything.
I feel like we're explaining a lot of college right now.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, my gosh. Totally.
Like, why was Joanna annoyed all the time? Why was Daphne always crying?
Yeah,
definitely. Because no one was sleeping.
Yeah, I have I'm definitely a lot more irritable. And by the way, I do a great job hiding this when I'm with people. For those of you listeners out there who know me, you might be like, wait a minute. Does that mean when you were training me, you were actually really tired and you wanted to cry and you were really hungry and you were irritable?
Yes. And that's why they pay her the big bucks.
I've learned to shove it aside. but lots of things are happening in the body and it's just not functioning properly when we don't get enough sleep. And I also, if it happens too many days in a row where my sleep is really interrupted, then I actually do put on weight. And the reason is that's the lack of sleep. That's considered a physical stressor. So definitely re-listen back to our stress episodes, one of my favorite episodes of all time. And we explain what a physical stressor is. Not getting enough sleep puts physical stress on your body. So quick caveman, we're going to go back to caveman times because that's what we do. So if caveman was not sleeping, the human body was like, oh, well, it's because caveman is standing watch because there is a saber-toothed tiger outside, or it's because there is danger. And that is why caveman is not letting himself sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the body senses danger, what's the body going to do? The body's going to release cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And the cortisol then in turn will make the human body store excess body fat. So that's why not sleeping enough is directly related to gaining weight. So if that doesn't scare you into getting adequate sleep, listeners, and why you should really place value on getting enough sleep and good quality of sleep, then
we'll get you a real tiger.
I'm going to find a saber-toothed tiger and yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so that's how I feel. I hate not getting enough sleep. In recent weeks, let's see, I had one day. Tuesday was not a good day.
Mm.
Yeah, I just had to wake up way too early and I don't remember what happened that gave me weird quality. Oh no, it was two Tuesdays ago. And and I had to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done that in a really long time. And I was lucky that I had a little bit of chunk of time in the afternoon before having to teach more classes in the evening, but I had to. And then I woke up and I felt like a different person.
Yep.
Yeah. Different totally. Person.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, and I've, read things over the years about how important the brain, how important sleep is for memory.
Yeah.
Like when I was in school and I was doing studying and stuff, I would notice that like, it made a difference in my ability to recall information if I like slept on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brain, like when you're asleep, that's when I believe, I'm not a brain scientist, but I believe that's when your brain does a lot of like sorting things into like long-term memory. And so if you like study, sleep, and then take the test versus like wake up early, study, and take the test,
totally.
It's actually better to sleep in the middle because of like what the processes your brain is doing with memory in the night.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. I feel like there's this like phenomena of like pulling all-nighters and taking medication and drinking Red Bull and drinking coffee at midnight to keep you up. So that you can, well, first of all, don't let yourself get to that state where you have to pull an all-nighter. It's just,
yeah.
It's called time management, people.
Oh, burn. Better get some ice for that wicked burn about time management.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's just instilled in me from my mom, who was a stickler for time management. But, and of course, I don't judge. So I know it happens, but it's
got all the way through college with an A average and never pulled an all-nighter.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Yeah.
And I wasn't taking drugs.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think I pulled an all-nighter. I think I stayed up late some nights, but
stayed up all night in my entire life, including my high school threw an all-night party for the seniors the night of...
Oh, like graduation?
Graduation.
Yeah, grad night. Oh my gosh,
so
yeah.
Where like they, you would like go to the school and they like locked us in
we
and
had
we were there
too.
Like all night and I fell asleep on the floor of the field house. So even for the all-night party, I could not stay awake.
Oh my gosh. You just brought me back. I think everyone right now is recalling their grad night.
Did you
party.
Have like sumo suits? I feel like that's...
Did we?
Maybe that was considered culturally insensitive in California.
We definitely had that.
Because it is culturally insensitive.
I know, right? We definitely had sumo suits at events. I don't think at grad night though. Ours was like a whole beach theme thing.
Oh,
so our entire gymnasium was converted. It wasn't even recognizable. People put like thousands of dollars into grad night at San Ramon Valley High, and it is a thing that people work all year.
Wow.
The committee, the parents, too.
Oh,
yeah. Good memories.
We had a pool, and one kid broke his leg. It was pretty cool. I mean, we had a pool all the time, but we could use it at grad night.
On grad night, yeah. So. I've pulled one all-nighter, and it was junior year.
Mm.
Junior year of high school. Not junior year of college.
Oh,
junior year of high school. Yeah. And it's so vivid. I can tell you what I wore the next day, which is weird because I had no memory.
Right.
But it was, this is going to sound so weird, but it was probably the most stressful time of my life, I would say, in like school life.
Yeah. You know? Well, because it's like the hardest year of school and you have the least number of skills to handle it because you're young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pulling an all-nighter during finals week of junior year, stakes are high, college apps are coming up, and it was just finals week, and being in all AP classes, and so this is when my mom was like, your time management skills, Daphne! pulling an all-nighter to prep for finals the next day, it just, and I remember being in so many extracurricular activities, too, I think maybe that's what, but pulling an all-nighter, and I remember my dad, who probably, like, woke up to go to the bathroom at, like, 4 a.m., he comes into my room and he's like, you're still up? And I was like, I have to, probably crying at this point in time. He was like, please go to bed. And I didn't go to bed. And I remember, you know, driving in my little Acura Integra.
Which is also terrifying.
I know, yeah.
16-year-old who hadn't been to sleep was driving.
And I remember getting a venti frappuccino. But at the same time, there was this whole thing like that day being like, I didn't sleep at all last night, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, just getting so prepped for this final and like, oh my gosh, look at me and my venti frappuccino. So, yeah, that's the only time I've ever done it. Yeah.
Matt told me that in college he pulled an all-nighter and then to reward himself, he got chocolate chip pancakes and then he got immediately sick.
Well, yeah, I feel kind of nauseous when I don't get enough sleep. Yeah, very nauseous. Oh, I also don't digest food well at all. I'm gassy when I don't get enough sleep. Yeah. And so bear in mind, these are all very like
anecdotal. Light,
yeah, anecdotal things. So I'm not a sleep disorder specialist. If any of you guys feel like you might or you do have a sleep disorder, you know, definitely see your doctor. We will talk a little bit about sleep apnea and my experience with it too. But yeah, make sure you consult your physician.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So lots of bad stuff happens to us when we don't get enough sleep.
To sum it up,
the takeaway.
I love our stories for this one.
I know. Lots of weird stories. So how much sleep should we be getting? Is there one answer?
It's different for every person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely different for every person. So what I am going to say, though, is we do hear a lot of people nowadays who say, oh, I can get by in 4 to 5 hours. I'm just used to it. I'm just used to it. It's true in a sense. The human body does adapt. My body did not adapt to my personal training schedule when I first started out almost 10 years ago. Some people do adapt. I know finance guys, they adapt. Doctors adapt. Is this taking years off of their life? Yes. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. 1,000%. Yes. So if you are at this place where you feel like you can get by on 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night, I'm just going to say that's not enough. You actually need more. And yes, the human body will adapt, but that's not necessarily good for you. And I think it was Arianna Huffington who recently came out with a statement where she feels, she actually has a book. She has a book on sleep, which I have not read, but I'm sure it's great. But she did have a quote, which I read on during an interview, and she thinks that lack of sleep is the new smoking.
Mm.
It's the new smoking. Like, sitting is the new smoking. Lack of sleep is the new smoking. So 4 to 5 hours is not enough. I'm still going to say it. 8. Mm-hmm. I don't get 8 every night. I try. And I know a lot of you, especially in our New York world that we live in, 8 might seem nearly impossible.
Or if you have kids.
Or if you have children. Oh, yeah. God. Oh. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do when I have kids. I'm a little concerned also. Because
I value sleep that, like, so much. Women throughout history have figured it out. But, like, I'm horrible when I haven't slept. And so I'm worried about how I will be to other people.
Me too. What if we turn mean? No, we would never turn mean.
We might. I don't know. We should do a podcast as our alternate.
Oh my God. When you and I are pregnant, we're going to have a blast recording this, and I can't wait to share our experiences then. But for me right now, I'm like, oh, dear God.
Yeah, it's frightening.
So eight.
Aim for eight.
I would say on average, we're getting about 6 to 7 right now. Mm-hmm. I personally am probably averaging between 6 to 7. And I know my quality might not be as good, and I'll explain why in a little bit. But we want to aim for 8. But this is 8 hours of being asleep. This is not 8 hours of being in bed. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I do want to stress. So if you go to bed at midnight and if you wake up at 8 a.m., I know most of you guys, a lot of you guys have to be in the office at 8:15, 8:30. So you're probably waking up at 7, but still going to bed at midnight, right? So it's like it's still not enough time. So if you need 8 hours of being asleep, well, we have to figure out how to get you to fall asleep within the first 15 minutes of lying down, which we'll talk about. But we also need to factor in how long it takes you to fall asleep, factor that into your bedtime, and this is 8 hours of being asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One feature that my cell phone has that is both negative and positive is that when I set an alarm, it says how many hours until the alarm is going to go off, like as I'm setting it.
The Galaxy?
Yeah. No, this is I have a Google Nexus phone.
Oh, okay.
But same Android phone.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's scary when I'm like, only 6 hours until I have to be awake. But it's also good because, like, I am seeing when I set the alarm how long I am giving myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's been a couple days where, like, that amount hasn't been high enough, I know that I have to start going to bed earlier because, like, I'm seeing the number. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of useful. Also, if you are a child, you need a lot more sleep than 8 hours. So if you're thinking about, like, sleep and your kids, there are a lot of great resources out there about kids and sleep. Neither of us is an expert, but I remember when I was a kid, in determining our bedtimes, my mom had a book that had like a recommended number of hours of sleep depending on your child's age. And so every year at the beginning of the school year, we'd like check the book to see like how much sleep we were supposed to get. And that would determine what time our bedtime was.
Oh my gosh.
Based on when we had to get up in the morning.
That's so cute.
That's very cute.
That's really cute.
It also might have been a strategy to stop me from trying to argue for a later bedtime.
I think so, because then you actually had the proof.
She was like, well, it's in the book.
Yeah.
You have to do what the book says.
Yeah. And you do play by the rules with a lot of things, so.
I was raised to be a very obedient child. So aim for 8. Hashtag aim for 8. So
that's a good hashtag.
Thank you.
Love it.
We'll use it in our social media for this week.
Definitely.
So that means getting more and better sleep. So I was going to call this like Daphne's 10 tips for getting more and better sleep, only then she just kept listing tips. So this is like Daphne's unending list of tips for getting better sleep. So for the next 45 minutes, just kidding. But let's talk about your tips for getting more and better sleep.
I'm so passionate about this topic. It's like, I don't even think there are words to describe how passionate about this topic I am. When you get enough sleep, you're just a happier, more present person. So these are the things that I do myself, or I try to do myself, but these are the things that I recommend everyone, all my clients do. And this is such a great refresher for me too, because I know what areas I struggle with and I know what needs to be done. And it's been so great prepping for this episode because I'm like, I have to buy that alarm clock so I don't have my phone in the bedroom with me, because sometimes I look at it up until I shut my eyes. So one thing, and I'm sure you know who this person is, Mike Birbiglia, the comedian.
Mike Birbiglia.
Birbiglia. Oh my gosh, I didn't even say it right.
It's okay. He has a joke about it.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where, I don't think I can actually say it, on our show because I think it involves swears, but it's about like pronunciation of his name.
Oh, really?
It's very funny.
We can include a link to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has that film Sleepwalk With Me.
Yes.
And he is very public with his sleep disorders and with his sleep issues. And so one thing he has said in some of his sketches is that we think that we can, that sleeping is like parking a car, and that we can go from driving 40 miles an hour to parking right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like that.
Yeah.
So we can't go 40 miles an hour and then close our eyes and expect to fall asleep right away or have good quality of sleep right away. So I'm going to say this. we have to earn our sleep. If we want good quality of sleep, we have to earn it. We have to place value on it, and we have to make it a priority.
Well, let's start with those devices. Let's start with the devices. Because this is like the most obvious one, right? Like
this one is the hardest one to do, for myself included. But you have to turn off all of your devices 30 to 60 minutes before bed. So that means iPads, that means computers, that means TV, and your phones. So pretty much everything. Which is crazy. Like, that's so hard for me. For me, it's not so much TV and laptop. It's my phone.
Yeah.
And I charge my phone right by my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, checking my alarm and checking emails and answering texts just last minute. Whereas in my past, I have thought that, okay, this is good. I'll sleep better because I'm taking care of all these things last minute. But it actually... So the reason why these devices make you stay awake is because of all the light and the colors and the images. So even reading a magazine before bed is not necessarily the best thing to do. So it's the light, the color, the images. So you want to avoid light, color, and images before you go to bed because your brain needs about 30 to 60 minutes to start letting go of the light, the images, and the colors. It's too much stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much stimulus. So... some suggestions for this. Charge your phone outside of your bedroom. Have an alarm clock that doesn't emit the LED or that doesn't emit light. So actually buy an alarm clock. I feel like the alarm clock business probably like went out of business because of iPhones. So we are here to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do have an alarm clock that does shine a light, cover the light. So charge your phones outside, turn off all your devices, and... read a book.
I have a Kindle that I read before bed, but it's not lit.
Mm-hmm. So that's totally
it's fine. It's like e-ink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
So the next one we're going to talk about is scheduling your bedtime.
Circadian rhythm. It's such a powerful thing. Such a powerful, powerful thing. It's why we get jet lag. It's your body's natural sleep clock.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has... a different one. Some people have very routine ones. So you always hear people who say, or I hear this, people who say, yeah, I can't sleep in on the weekends. Like I just wake up at 8 a.m. no matter what. I have a client who is retired, but was in the finance industry for decades mm-hmm. and still wakes up at 6 a.m. every single day, regardless of what time he goes to bed. So the circadian rhythm is just when your body's natural sleep clock tells you to go to bed and when, and tells you when to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to earn our circadian rhythm, though. If we are going to bed at different times and if we are waking up at different times all the time, that is actually not very good for our system. So I think with me, when I first started this personal training endeavor, because at the time it was just an endeavor,
mm-hmm.
You know, almost 10 years ago, everything was just, it was like I was going to bed at, you know, 1 a.m. and then waking up at 4:30 and then going back to sleep at 10 a.m. and then waking up at 2 p.m. and then training and then going. So don't mess with your circadian rhythm. Schedule your bedtime. Routine.
Mm-hmm.
Routine is a beautiful thing here. What's your bedtime, Joanna?
Usually, we're trying to push it a little earlier always, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not getting ready for bed by around 11:30, we start to sort of like yell at each other about it.
Same here.
So... but yeah, we usually are up until at least 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine's about midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then I have friends that go to bed at 10. Not in New York, but other places. Normal places.
It's so nice. Every time I go home to California, I go to sleep so much earlier.
Do you use the time difference to your advantage?
I use the time difference to my advantage and then add in everyone's on my nephew's eating schedule. Yes. So like we eat dinner, like, well, we eat dinner
at six.
So yeah. And then there's like just not much to do mm-hmm. sometimes when you're with your family. So schedule your bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
I think midnight is, I mean, I ideally would like to push that up a little bit earlier. That's just the way my life is and, mm-hmm. and what I've gotten used to though.
Yeah. But it's like we say with working out, like make an appointment with yourself. Like you wouldn't break an appointment with somebody else. Make an appointment with yourself, like put it on your calendar if you need to, and then like really try to stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Think of this as treating your body right and not having to like deprive yourself of that mm-hmm. last episode of something or another, which leads into our next.
Yes.
Our next tip.
you may have to make choices that may feel like sacrifices in order to get enough sleep.
I wanted to stay up late last night to watch American Horror Story so bad. So bad. I still don't know what the series like is called, because it was all kept secret leading up to it. But instead I was doing computer wedding work up until super late, and I could have stayed up an extra hour. That would have put my bedtime to like 1:15-ish, and I just was like, nope, don't do it. Just don't do it. So I made that sacrifice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like weirdly enough, like it's TV with us too. Like,
yeah.
Especially now that you don't let us watch TV while we eat dinner. It's really cut into our TV watching time, which is super inconvenient. But, you know, we do it because it's worth it. And ultimately, like, you're going to survive if you don't watch as much TV.
And it's just going to be so worth it.
The part of it that is hard, and I know this is especially true with people with kids, is, like, there's a very small sliver of time that is just yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to spend that sleeping.
Yeah.
I think it's at least worth giving yourself a week to try. Like, how does it feel if I spend this hour sleeping instead of watching TV? Like, how does it affect how I feel all the time?
Mm-hmm.
To see if that's a step that, like, is worth it to you to take.
And do something 3 days in a row, and I promise it will become habitual. You just need to do it 3 days in a row. Just try it. Or 3 nights in a row. Just try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was a couple weeks ago, there was this hysterical show on, Better Late Than Never. It's the reality show with William Shatner, George Foreman, and two other older guys. The guy who plays Fonzie. What's his name?
Winkler.
Yeah, Winkler. And it's just, they're traveling Asia. And it's
awesome.
And Stuart, my fiance, is obsessed with it. And an episode had recorded, and it was like 11:20, and he was like, please. And I had to just be so firm. And I was like, no, we can't do this. Like, I know this is just, I want to watch it too. But yeah, TV sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's next on our list?
Caffeine.
Ah.
Yeah, this is a huge one. So huge.
You're not going to tell us we have to give up caffeine, are you?
Definitely don't give up caffeine. I love caffeine. Phew. And I think that that's what gives me a little pep in my step in the mornings. But you have to give yourself a caffeine cutoff time. I feel like we should just close all coffee shops at 2 p.m. Like, not really. I don't know. We should just make everything decaf after 2 p.m. So I didn't even realize how sensitive I was to caffeine until I actually eliminated it, but not for any health reasons. It was because I got sick. I had a bad cold, and I wasn't craving coffee with cream and, you know, sugar in the mornings. I wanted just like ginger lemon tea with ginseng because I was like that mucousy and sick. So as a result, I just ended up not drinking coffee for, it was maybe like 7 or 10 days, and, went back to drinking it. And you saw how much I would drink. I would have a cup in the afternoon sometimes during our podcast recording.
Definitely. So that's not crazy. You make that sound like that's unusual. Many coffee drinkers have a cup in the morning and a cup in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'd say that's probably normal.
I feel like it would be like 3 p.m. and I would have one.
Yeah.
And it finally dawned on me, oh my gosh, like this is totally affecting my quality of sleep.
Yeah.
And just having my brain worrying up until, you know, the wee hours of the morning. And I knew it was because of coffee. So you have to give yourself a caffeine cutoff time. You must. For those of you high-powered, you know, finance, 9-to-5, tech people, anything, when you go out for that afternoon pick-me-up at 4 p.m., go for decaf. Trust me. Trust me on this one. Get a decaf something or another, or get some tea instead. Even if there's caffeine in the tea, it's not going to be as potent as having a double shot of espresso at 4 p.m. You don't need it. And even if you do have to stay up late, like even if you have an event that night, it's still going to affect your quality of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to give you that much. Don't even get me started on Red Bulls and Monsters. And I mean, those I don't even think should exist. But you have to give yourself a caffeine cutoff time. You must.
You must.
Do it.
And if that's going to be hard, start by just moving it up a little bit and then, you know, work from there. Like you can work in small steps and still make a difference for yourself. Some things that I have found helpful include either meditation or listening to something boring. Mm-hmm. specifically, like, if I, on the nights that I do have trouble falling asleep, it's because I, like, can't turn my brain off, mm-hmm. either because I'm having, like, anxiety thoughts or whatever. I have a meditation app that, like, tells me what to do and think about, and that I find is helpful. And I also sometimes will turn on a podcast that I don't care about very much. That's just like people talking, mm-hmm. Because it's enough just to like shove me out of my own thought pattern.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's perfect. And that's, that leads to the next thing. Sleep sounds.
Mm.
Sleep sounds.
Mm-hmm. Sleep sounds.
Sleep sounds are so great. And that's,
you mean
exactly,
like a white noise machine or like meditation
either
music?
Either white noise. Oh yeah. And we should talk about meditation a little bit more too. So, well, let's talk about sleep sounds really quick, and then we'll circle back to that. Mm-hmm. But sleep sounds like white noise. I don't suggest people who have a TV. First of all, I feel like there should be no TVs in the bedroom. I know a lot of people are going to be very angry that I said this, but no TV in the bedroom. The bedroom, this is what Dr. Oz always says, the bedroom is reserved for sleep and sex. Mm-hmm. So I said the S word on just one more podcast.
That's okay. It's a medical term.
It is a medical term in this context. But sleep sounds, well, and this is another reason why I've had the phone in the bedroom is because of the sleep sound. So I need to figure this out. Yeah. Like, I need to figure. But so exactly like what you just said, it gets you out of your thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden it takes your brain away from going over your to-do list for tomorrow or mulling over what happened that day, and it breaks the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep sounds are either, if a boring podcast works for you.
There are actually sleep podcasts that are like made for you to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like people talking about boring things.
Oh my god!
So if you search for like sleep podcasts, I'll link to one in the show notes.
Can you imagine the person being the recorder of the podcast, like just knowing no one's going to listen to the end of it? Hopefully,
if they do it right.
So Spotify has so many great sleep sounds, meditation, and they are all different things. There's water ones. There's ones that are more music. There's ones that are apartment noises or house noises. So it's just kind of like whirring of a fan, mm-hmm. you know, and my favorite one is more of a, like a rainforest type situation.
Ooh.
So some of them are sounds layered on top of music. You can just kind of like pick and choose the best one for you, but find the Spotify playlist that, or Pandora or sleep
maybe
sounds.
If you tell me your favorites, I'll link to it so that everyone can listen to Daphne's favorite sleep
mm-hmm.
sounds.
So it's not necessarily making your own playlist, because if you actually are listening to your own songs, that's a different story that might actually stimulate your brain a little bit. And you might start like singing along, or you might start just anticipating the next mm-hmm. lyrics, the next melodies. So sleep sounds or white noise. I have a harder time with white noise because I don't know. I think I just prefer the meditative,
mm-hmm.
the positive feeling I get with like jungle forest.
Yeah.
The jungle forest sounds, but white noise is also really great. But you can meditate while you listen to the sleep sounds.
Totally.
Trying to meditate for about 5 to 7 minutes before bed is so helpful. I've done it a few times, and it always. But that's the thing. You just have to tell yourself you are going to do it. And it helps so much. So meditating means you can focus on your breathing. You can listen to a guided meditation. And it is really helpful.
What about blackout curtains or eye masks?
This one is critical. The room has to be dark. It has to be dark. Having blackout curtains and wearing an eye mask. So I've recently started wearing an eye mask.
Oh.
And it's such a game changer. It's kind of weird having it on your face the first couple nights,
mm-hmm.
but the quality of sleep you get those first few nights, I mean, it's like insurmountable. It like negates the fact that it was a little weird. And then just like everything, after 3 nights, it feels totally routine.
Mm-hmm.
So the sleep mask I use right now, it actually looks like a really little bra.
Oh, so, that's adorable.
So it cups itself around your eyes, but it doesn't press on your eyes, so it just kind of goes over. And I found it at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Hmm.
Yeah, but prior to that, I was using a free one that I got from my most recent JetBlue
uh-huh.
flight.
That's what we have.
Mm-hmm. And that one's great, too, as long as it's not too tight on your head. But if you don't sleep with an eye mask, just try it out. Try it out for a few days, and you can sleep a little deeper in the morning too, because whatever light might be coming in through your windows, it won't affect you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a sleep mask is like blackout curtains that can come with you when you travel.
Exactly. Yeah.
The next one you have on here is about allergens, mm-hmm. reducing allergens.
Yeah. So this has to do with breathing and sinuses. Reduce the allergens. Hypoallergenic everything. My family at home in California, they actually recently redid their whole... We did a spring cleaning and we, or I guess fall cleaning, and we threw out all of our old pillows and comforters, and we realized we've had them for
a long time.
A long time.
Yeah, it's easy for that stuff to get.
Which you forget about, like living in New York, I mean, we change apartments. Well, we've been in this one for like 3 years, but I mean, you do have to throw things out every few years because you move in New York. You forget, like when you go to a family home, like, those things have been there for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So we threw everything out, got all Claritin brand pillows, pillow covers, mattress covers, comforters, comforter covers. And, I mean, it just felt like heaven. Everything just felt so cool and clean. So you can absolutely go that far.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go. I mean, Bed Bath has everything.
We use Lands' End for a lot of that stuff. They have hypoallergenic.
Mm-hmm. Go hypoallergenic with everything, pillow covers, and this is also great for this New York pandemic of like bed bugs and stuff, you know, like that's, mm-hmm. So like dust mites, it helps with that. So another thing to do is to wipe the dust off in your room all the time. Mm-hmm. So dust, we don't even realize that dust piles up underneath the bed, behind the dresser, in the closet, maybe along the headboard. Just de-dust your room, because dust mites exist. And if you feel congested, or if you wake up feeling congested, or like you have a sore throat, chances are there were too many allergens in the room. So same thing goes for if you have a pet, have the pet sleep outside of the bedroom.
Sorry, pet.
Sorry.
You gotta sleep in your own bed. Next thing on your list is don't go to bed too full.
Go to bed dreaming of breakfast. We've talked about this before.
We have.
Yeah, this was on our, we had a top five episode many moons ago. Top five tips and tricks to, you know, just be more awesome right now. So don't go to bed too full. Go to bed on an empty stomach. Give yourself a cutoff time. And the reason is you want your digestive system to also rest. If your digestive system is working, that means your body is working. That means you're going to stay awake. You'll also have better quality of sleep if you go to bed on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm. And this next one is like so on Daphne brand that it made me laugh when I saw it. You want us to foam roll before bed, Daphne?
Really? Foam roll before bed. It eases so much tension. That, and it gets you away from your devices. So that's like
true.
Kind of
it is like a thing.
Thing
to do that doesn't require your phone.
Totally. Foam rolling before bed, it reduces tension. It relaxes your muscles. It calms your breathing. Forces you to breathe. And it is scientifically proven to help you fall asleep.
Mm.
So foam roll everything. Your back, your lower back, your legs, lower legs. I was like, that's pretty much it.
There's no other body parts,
yeah,
right?
No other body parts.
What about bedroom temperature?
You need to keep the temperature of your bedroom cool. So how are you with temperature?
I like it to be cool when I sleep because I like to sleep under blankets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like sleeping with our air conditioner, even though we do it all summer, just because I feel like it's sort of like drying. Like my favorite is in the winter when it's just like naturally cold in our bedroom, mm-hmm. and we can get all snuggly.
Well, that's another thing too. Think about how much deeper people sleep in the wintertime versus mm-hmm. in the summers. Once again, the human body acclimates. So if it is a little bit warmer, you will get used to it. But researchers say 65 degrees Fahrenheit. That's actually a little too cold, even for me, unless I have, like, a down comforter.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for us, too. We don't like to have the AC running in the summers, so we just have, like, a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But making sure the temperature of the room is low and not too hot is going to help you sleep, because your body temperature naturally goes down right before you fall asleep. So if it's too hot, it's preventing your body temperature from going down. Stuart is the worst with that. And if it's too hot, he will thrash and he will toss and turn. And then he will keep saying to me, you're like a radiator.
Don't touch me.
But I'm asleep already. So,
so you're like, joke
so
on you.
So then my remedy for that is to have a fan in the room if you don't want the AC blowing such like cold, drying. I mean, AC units just they just yeah. dry out the air, and then I get really scratchy mm-hmm. throaty. So,
what's the foot massage trick?
I learned this when I was 12 years old, and my older sister Debbie had a little book, and it was called The Little Book of Sleep, and it was so cute. She got it as a gift, and I read it. And I think that's how, honestly, how all of this has, like, stuck with me in those years. So give me the feet. Feet have so many nerve endings. And I think this has to do with some type of, like, acupuncture meridian thing, too. But the feet, like, the nerves and the feet directly correlate with your body's, like, relaxation response. And, like, we all know, how relaxed do you feel when you get a foot massage, right? So before you go to sleep, this is great because this is another thing to do that's not on your phone. You can just sit in bed and just take one foot and make a little fist with the other hand and just give yourself a foot massage with your fist, massage your arch. And this is also proven, probably like foam rolling, to reduce tension. And if you do that for about a minute on each foot, it helps you sleep better.
You can also use a tennis ball. I like roll my foot around on a tennis ball. That's nice.
Yeah. Especially if you have a foam roller, because chances are if you have a foam roller, you might have a massage ball. So you can do that instead. Right? This was when I was 12 that I read this. So
you didn't have all your tools.
I didn't have all my Daphne tools yet, my massage therapy tools.
What about herbs?
Herbs. So this is something that I know a bit about, but I definitely want to start to apply it. So a lot of people suggest drinking tea before bed. Is really positive because the tea relaxes you. I try to not drink too much water leading up to...
Because then you have to go to the bathroom.
Because like I guess I just pee more.
Yeah.
But chamomile, and I know you don't like chamomile tea.
That's okay. I'm not against it in principle.
So chamomile tea, really any type of tea, as long as there's no caffeine, just as long as it's soothing. But the main one is lavender. So there are all these studies that talk about how lavender oil helps lull you into sleep. I feel like just by breathing in that scent forces you to just take deeper breaths. My acupuncturist, when she's trying to relax me, she'll use acupuncture. She'll use lavender essential oils, and she'll like just like put them on her hand and just like rub them over my face while I'm just lying there with my eyes closed. And I immediately feel super relaxed. So experiment with having a little lavender oil, you know, either put it on your body or have some lavender under your pillow or have it just next to your bed, just so you're smelling that while you go to sleep. I feel like the Union Square Farmers Market, there's always like an amazing lavender stand. And every time I walk past it, I went to Provence when I was 12 on a school field trip. And it's all lavender everywhere.
Yeah.
And it brings me back so quickly.
Totally.
Yeah.
So. I've also, when I was younger, I had like a pillow spray that you were supposed to like spray on your pillow before you go to sleep. Yeah. So you could look into that.
Yeah. Look into pillow sprays. Those are all natural and they smell delicious.
What about mattresses? I know you're a big fan of having the right mattress for you.
Mattresses are critical. If you don't have a good mattress, you're going to be in pain. And if your mattress sags or if it's old, you are going to have a harder time falling asleep. Recently, a client of mine, she finally switched over to a Tempur-Pedic mattress. And I was actually very horrified to learn that she's had the same mattress for 16 years. I almost lost my stuff and made her buy a new mattress over Labor Day weekend, and it's literally changed her life. And have a really good quality pillow based off of how you sleep, whether you're a back sleeper, a side sleeper, or a stomach sleeper.
Cool. And if you're having trouble falling asleep,
if I am super anxious or if I just haven't done all these things, because really I have to do so many of these things in order to get good quality of sleep, because in my older age, my anxiety levels have gone up a little bit. And so I have a harder time falling asleep. I never used to have a hard time falling asleep. In recent years, I do have a harder time falling asleep. And I think it's probably because of all the technology and work. And
I think it just happens when you get older too.
Totally. We just have more stuff going on. But if I have not done all of this and say I did have caffeine too late, or maybe I slept in too late the morning of, and I can't fall asleep, if you've been in bed 45 minutes and you can't fall asleep, you have to break that. You're going to start to stress that you're not falling asleep.
Yeah.
So what I do is I actually walk to the apartment and I look out my window and I just look out at all the buildings surrounding me, at, you know, the people walking on the street, and I'll just take about 2 minutes to just focus, and my windows are normally open in the living room, and I just, like, take a few minutes, just 2 minutes about, and I can always, like, look across at the building across the way, and I always see the porters kind of cleaning up, because I can see into the gym on the upper floor of, you know, the building across the way, and I can just watch the little people moving, and it is almost instantaneous. It calms me down, and I'm able to go back to bed, and I fall asleep right away. I didn't even realize this was a thing until I researched it, and it is actually what sleep specialists recommend you do.
So get up, walk around, take your mind off your stress about falling asleep, and it'll help you get there.
Yeah.
Well, that was a bunch of really great tips, but there are still some more serious problems like insomnia, sleep apnea, things like that. So if you're having problems like that, I assume you should go to a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They'll do a sleep study. And I actually was supposed to do a sleep study because I have a deviated septum, which I think I've told you about.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really breathe through my nose, which I think just has happened. I never broke my nose or anything. And also, just hereditary, my grandma on my dad's side snored. My dad has sleep apnea, and he snores, and he has to sleep with the machine over his face. And then I inherited that as well. So I actually, so I snore. And I'm coming out, everyone.
As a snorer.
As a snorer. So sometimes if, sometimes Stuart will wake up in the middle of the night, and I'll be like gasping for air, and he has to flip me over onto my side.
Oh no.
So, some things that have helped are me getting a little bit of a higher pillow and training my body to sleep on my side.
Mm-hmm.
And I did start the whole process of going to an ENT, and they prescribed my sleep study. You can do sleep studies at home now.
Huh.
It's the stuff that you pick up from your doctor's office and you bring it home and you do it for one night and then you give it back to them and then it tracks everything.
Hmm.
So you don't even really need to do sleep studies in
a sleep center
anymore.
That's great.
So you can always do that. Start with an ENT. Start with your primary care physician, who will then refer you to an ENT, which is an ear, nose, and throat doctor. For the most part, they're able to help with things like sleep apnea, snoring, breathing, all that jazz. But when it comes to really severe things like sleepwalking, night terrors, there are so many other ones too that I'm sure if you guys have, you know, sleep disorders,
if you've got them,
you know they exist. And of course, you see a sleep specialist about that. For the most part, seeing an ENT, which coming from our musical theater background, we've had a lot of people see ENTs. I feel like that was just very common for us.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that addressed, because if you are not breathing properly during your sleep, then you are actually depriving your brain of oxygen, and that can lead to just plenty of bad things, including just being tired the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do get 8 hours of sleep, but you still wake up feeling exhausted the next day, chances are your quality of sleep is not good. And that's when you need to, well, do all the things that we talked about, but then maybe see an ENT and see what's going on with your sinuses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just need a nose strip that like opens up your sinuses so you can breathe a little bit better. But maybe you need that, I think it's called the CPAP, the CPAC. Did I say this? Oh, well, yeah, I'm thinking Z-Pack right now. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the sleep machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, if you feel like you might be sleeping too much, that can be a whole set of other problems. So
yeah.
It can have to do with mental health, like depression often
definitely
is involved there. I found that I was sleeping a lot, and when I got blood work done, it turned out that like I had some thyroid stuff going on, and I went to my doctor and she helped me work it out. And, I still am like a long sleeper, but I'm not, feeling so tired, during the day, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep problems can go both ways. Like
definitely sleeping too much and then trying to figure out why it is you are sleeping so much.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It can play, mental health plays such a big, big part in that. Pain plays such a big part in that. People with fibromyalgia, they sleep a lot. So definitely if you feel like you are experiencing anything that is pretty serious, then see your primary care physician immediately.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I'm going to do a little takeaway here. I'm not going to relist all of your tips because there were so many great ones. But basically, sleep is really important. It's as important to our health as diet and exercise. Because it's when our body repairs itself, it's when we like put our memories in the right places. And if we don't sleep enough, we produce cortisol, which, leads to, our bodies holding on to excess body fat. And it also just leads to like chronic stress on the body and I would guess chronic inflammation. We should be hashtag aiming for 8 hours of sleep. Some of the most important things we can do are get devices out of the bedroom, get TV out of the bedroom, watch our caffeine intake later in the day, try to be on a schedule and, all of that other good stuff. And if that isn't enough, if you're still having problems, go see your doctor because there probably is something that can be done to help you. And either way, you don't want to be like choking in your sleep like Daphne if you don't have to. So we want you to be getting a good night's sleep. Anything important that I missed?
No, that was it. You got it all.
Awesome. Well, sweet dreams, everybody.
Sweet dreams.
Thanks for listening to Just One More with Joanna and Daphne. Our show is hosted by Daphne Yang and me, Joanna Shaw Flam. We're produced and edited by me. Our theme music is by Hannah vs. The Many, who you can hear at hannahvsthemany.com. We'll be back next week. You can make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing to Just One More on iTunes, Google Play Music, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. For show notes and help subscribing, you can go to our website, justonemorepodcast.com. Let us know what you think. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Just One More Pod, on Facebook at facebook.com/justonemorepodcast, or you can email us at info@justonemorepodcast.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.